This is an Enterprise Time Security podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Christian Koch of NTT Security.
It's Christian Koch, and I'm working for NTT Security, and I'm responsible for the IoT and OT security topic for EMEA, and also for the governance, risk, and compliance topic in Germany and Austria. I'm working in the security business for the last 16 or 17 years. I've done a lot of things regarding typical security challenges that we had during the last years. And right now, I think that the IoT and OT topic is one of the real challenges that we will have during the next years.
We hear a lot about IoT as a risk factor, but also as something that people want. How do we balance off the cost of producing something at a price point people will pay for compared to a secure price point? It might cost $10 to put the internet connection into a device, but there's another $30 to secure it. Who's going to pay that $30?
That's a really good question, because at the end, normally the customer has to pay for it. But we need, as you have mentioned, a good balance between the security that we need and the security that we can develop into the product. When you speak about IoT and IoT security especially, then we have a look to the products in detail, because it's really huge range of products that are part of the IoT network. And it starts with some smart home sensors that cost just 10 euros. And it ends with high sophisticated appliances that you can use at home or in the typical operational networks of companies. And this shows you the range. It starts with a couple of euros and it ends with products for some millions. When you speak about security, I think it's very important that you know the risks that could happen, that you know the threats, and that you are aware in the complete development process to take care of the security of the whole product.
When we think about a consumer product, that's quite a complicated problem. We can't assume that the end user understands the risk because they don't have the technical knowledge in many cases. That puts a lot of pressure on the manufacturer. But is that the manufacturer of the hardware or the supplier of the internet connected and security elements that should or are required to be in that hardware?
In my opinion, it should be the vendor of the complete product, not the provider of the connectivity. The responsibility of the vendor is to develop an secure product with the requested functionality. As you have mentioned, the consumer is not able to know the risks, to know what to do. These guys just want to use the product. They want to have the functionality for their smart home, for whatever. People are aware that some cyber risks could happen, that there are some threats maybe. They heard a lot of things in the press releases about WannaCry, Trojans, and all this stuff. At the end, it's really the responsibility of the vendor to secure the complete product.
When we think about televisions, we've seen issues with televisions, voice-enabled televisions, that have to listen to conversations in order to know when they're being asked to do things. The challenge with that is that that audio then gets captured at the far end, which becomes a risk. But for things like fridges, freezers, other white goods, users don't necessarily think about what the risk could be. If we think about it from a business perspective, many of these white goods now arrive inside our business premises. Boardrooms have televisions. Offices all have fridges. They have other places for people to make tea and food. How does a business begin to adapt for these devices coming in?
When you have a look to the companies that are using all these devices, these companies need a clear guideline how to handle these devices. Because what's the reality? You need a smart connected fridge for the boardroom and they just buy it and plug it into the network and then it's up and running and nobody knows that this device exists. Because the IT guys just take care about their systems, about the client server switches, whatever, but not about all the other things. Our opinion is that the visibility of all the things that are in your network is very important. That is one of the major issues that most companies have. The same is when you have a look to all the building automation components. When you speak with customers, have you ever thought about your connected elevator that you have? About the connected access control? Normally not, because the responsibility is another department and they don't take care of it. And the same is when you have a look, for example, to a data center itself. They just think about the servers, about the perimeter, but they do not think about the security of their connected and remote maintained air conditioning system or the fire alarm system or all these things. Sometimes it's easier for an attacker to attack these devices than to attack the complete company over their fully secured perimeter.
It's interesting, isn't it? If we were talking point-of-sale systems, then we'd already be looking at this from a security perspective. We've seen several attacks against point-of-sale systems that have caused problems for large retailers. As you say, when we talk about access control on doors, when we talk about air conditioning, when we talk about lifts, we all want those things to be connected. We want somebody else to know when it goes wrong so we don't have to do that. But we don't bring them into our security landscape. How do we manage those devices? Because most IT departments aren't set up to understand what is going on in building infrastructure.
In my opinion, the major problem that we have within the company is that IT departments are focused on confidentiality, on integrity, and then on availability of all these components. When you speak with the guys that are responsible for the IoT or OT components, they are focused on the availability, just on the availability. They do not take care about all the other things. Maybe they're, depending on the vertical and the solution, they take care about the safety because this is very important for them. This is the major problem when an IT guy speaks with a guy that runs the typical OT environments or IoT components. They speak the same language, but they do not understand. And this is one of the major problems that we have. On the other hand, the gap between these two people is so big that when the IT suggests a solution to these guys, they will never accept it because it's the IT solution and the IT guys do not understand my business. The challenge that we have in the companies is that we need an understanding of the business processes in the IT, in the security departments, so that these guys are aware about the real requirements of the operational guys. And then they're able to speak to each other. And it's a typical thing that we are doing in some consulting project. We're just starting a communication between the two enemies within the company and to find a way to handle the real problems that they have. When you have a look to an air conditioning system in a building or in a data center, and you've asked how they could they manage these things, the problem is when these guys are not aware about the security risks, then they do not really start in controlling the suppliers that they are using. There are some maintaining companies that have network link to these devices. Maybe they use an internet link. And this is the reality. And when you have a look to all the statistics that are on the internet, I think 2 years ago, one of the vulnerability assessment tools has done an evaluation, for example, for air conditioning systems. And they found 50,000 professional air conditioning system in the internet with default usernames and passwords, because then it's easy to access. You have both problems. You have the IT guys that are not able to speak with the OT guys. On the other hand, you have also the vendors and the maintaining companies of these components, which are just focused on the functionality side. They say, okay, this air conditioning system has to run, and that's it. This is the problem. These guys have to train to get an awareness of the security, of the real cybersecurity, so that they understand what could happen and that they know, okay, when there's a default password, I will never use it.
But many of these people who are bringing these into companies wouldn't necessarily think about the username and password for the devices. It's not their responsibility. They see that as the engineer who does the installation and the company who are managing. When we think about risk, we're starting as organizations to look at third and fourth party risk in our supply chain. But that supply chain doesn't tend to look at equipment that's brought in. Lifts are not seen as a supplier in that third and fourth party chain. Neither are televisions, neither are fridges, neither all these other little goods that come into the organization. We can write all the policies we like, but people aren't going to read them because it becomes too complicated. Is there no better way, such as extending our asset tools, to deal with this?
Just writing policies will never work. We have to train these people. We have to guide these people how to handle security risks. They need an understanding of the real cybersecurity issues that could happen. This is a real challenge normally, because when you have a look at their business over the last 25 or 30 years, normally they have a sending, yeah, we are able to run the business, it works for many years. Why do we have some problems right now or in the future? Because we know what to do and we know how to run our machines or components and the complete supply chain. This is the problem. We need the understanding. I think it will also be a change in the generation that when you have some operational guys that are responsible for 30 years, there will come some new employees in this company and they will have a better understanding of all these things. They are more open-minded to speak with all the IT guys, to speak with the security security guys, to ask their suppliers, how do you handle security stuff? They know how to live in a digital world. A mobile phone is, for these typical Generation Y guys, it's normal. You use it every day and you know what could happen. Sometimes they publish more data to the internet than normal they should. This is a complete other feeling when they have a digital media in their normal workplace than an older guy that works for many years has. This generation change is very important to solve this problem. But at the end, you can also have some new guys when you have old machines, old products in your environment. What can you do? This is also a real challenge for the manufacturers of all these components. When we speak with customers about typical SCADA environments and they tell us, how do we implement all these things? Then they say normally, yeah, we build up a new environment, then they install the software, and then there is the release date, the system will be up and running, and that's it. They will never touch all the components because there are so many dependencies on it. It costs a lot of money to implement all the new software components. And this is normally the major problem, we have just a maintaining window of one day every 6 months. And in this period, we have to focus on the functionality problems that we have in the machines to change, for example, some physical things in the machines. Maybe there's a valve that does not work in the right way or so on. And they are more focused on these things because this is important for their business. These are the things that they really need to be up and running. They do not think about security patches because the software works in the way that they expect, and that's it.
It's interesting that you mentioned industrial equipment there. One of the challenges that we have, and we've always had with technology, is capturing subject matter expertise. If we take pump systems as an example, if you have a set of pumps at a power station that are running in series, it's very easy to push one pump to full power, which would exceed the input capability of the next pump in sequence, and you get a failure. All of that can be done remotely by a hacker these days. But actually spotting what is going wrong is not necessarily easy for the people in a control room. They wouldn't necessarily see the hack. What they would see is a pump failure, not the cyber attack. How do we begin to do a better job of capturing that expertise as people begin to retire? Because that actually is going to make it easier for us to start to understand why these things happen, so that we can begin to do our trace back on the threat side, because we're now starting to get a significant separation point between mechanical knowledge and cyber knowledge.
When you have a look to a typical SCADA environment, for example, that where some pumps in this environment, then you need a good feeling what's the normal behavior of this environment and which components are in this network. When we speak with customers about security risks that they have, then getting a visibility of the things that are going on in the network is normally the first step of all of these projects. You will find different types of operational guys within these environments. Some guys know pretty well which component is communicating with which protocol, with which HMI or whatever. And there are also some other guys, they say, okay, we know what components are doing in the network, but all the details were done 10 years ago by one of our suppliers. Everything is up and running and we have a problem, we just call the maintenance company. And then they know what to do. This shows that these guys are not aware about the communication that happened in this network. When we have a visibility and we have a normal behavior of the environment, then it's easy to find out, is there something going wrong in this environment? Is there communication that normally not happened in this environment? For example, is there a pump communicating with another machine which has no relationship to each other? This is normally the first thing that we are doing. When you speak about the knowledge that these guys have, normally it will never work that typical operator of an OT environment is able to handle security attacks. You need the specialized companies or specialized internal guys that are able to detect something is not going in the right way. And this is normally a real challenge because they have to speak with some other parties to find a complete solution. On the other hand, normally they build up a lot of environments and then everything will never change. The problem is how to see what's in the network when you do not change anything or you do not want to change anything. And this is normally one of the major issues. Same as when you speak with some typical security vendors and they have just the answer, yeah, we put some devices within the network communication and then we control everything. Normally the idea is pretty good, but it will never work. They will not change it in the OT environment. The operational guys are focused on operation, on the availability of all components. When they put some devices in the network, it's a risk for them because they cannot guarantee the availability of the complete environment. And this is the reason why you have to work step by step to really secure an operational environment and to see what's going on there.
We've seen a number of attacks in Europe in particular around ransomware that have targeted hospitals. We've seen attacks on critical national infrastructure, such as power. These are industries that have equipment that are not just 5 years old, but 10, 15, 20, 25 years old. There was never a belief that they would be attacked electronically. As a result, this equipment is not easily replaceable. Many may not even know the risk that the equipment faces. As a security services provider, when you engage with these people, how complicated is it to actually get a real picture of all those assets, to understand what can be secured, what can't be secured, and then to move forward and build a security plan?
It can be a real challenge, to speak honestly. Yeah, as you have mentioned, there are many devices that are very old. When you have a device that's 30 years old and you go in the past 30 years ago, then it was the year where we have the first PCs at home or in the companies. As you have mentioned, all the devices are not designed for connectivity. They're designed just to one to do their job and that's it. During the last years, many devices were connected to some parts of a network because it's pretty hard for also the companies that run critical infrastructure to do not have a monitoring of their component. This is normally one of the first functionalities where they have implemented some connectivity. When you have a look to typical critical infrastructures, the major challenge that you have is you have a decentralized system. You have mentioned the energy networks, for example. You can secure your central side. That's pretty easy. You can also secure the communication in the network when they use normal protocols. It can also be a challenge that they have some very old protocols in the network or some two-wire technologies. In this case, you cannot use typical encryption or authentication in the network. But the major challenge that you have is there are a lot of components all over the country. You can get physical access to it. And when you have access to one of the components of an energy network that is 100 kilometers away from the central side and you get an alarm, that's fine. But you have 2 hours time to do whatever you want in this location till somebody is able to come over and to double check, is there somebody getting access to this component? The same is when you speak with some railway companies. They said, yeah, we have secured environment and we've put the red label on it and then this is our signaling technology part and this is secure. I said, yeah, pretty good. But when I want to access this environment, I just open the door, go in and then I can access it. Yeah, but it's not allowed. Yeah, that's fine, but who will care? And that's the reality. Double checking what's going on in these not centralized environments, this is the real challenge. When you change something in the configuration of these components, it's pretty hard to detect. The dependencies that you have between different components and what's going on when you change some values or when you send some values, for example, from one component to central side to another one, it's pretty hard to decide what is the real risk. Based on this, it's very important that you not just focus on, for example, secure communication. You have also to focus about some logical things within your application that you know a typical range of values that I can get from this component is between 1 and 10, for example. Based on this, you can see, is something going wrong? And when you have a temperature sensor, for example, that sends out the temperature is 5,000 degrees, then something is going wrong. Can be damage, can be a hack, whatever, but you can see that's an abnormal behavior on it. And this shows also the complexity. You cannot just focus on network communication to secure a complete environment, you also have to focus on the application. The major problem is that when you have a look to very old components, you cannot change the software in this environment and you cannot prevent somebody to go into another site to access these components. But you can have a look on the whole environment and can see is something going on that is not the normal behavior of it. It's pretty hard to decide what is the normal behavior, but it's the only way that you have. And on the other hand, when you build up some new environments, then it's very important that you do not buy comparable old devices, because you are using these devices in your complete network, and then these devices were developed 10 years ago, so that you are aware about the new technologies and about the new protocol features, the functionalities that can be implemented, so that you have an old world that can be secured with a way that will help you to find out what's the normal behavior, but with a lot of restrictions. And on the other hand, that you build up some new environments with a clear concept that is focused not just on functionality, that is focused on functionality and security, where all of these guys in the projects are aware about what are the risks, what are the measures to implement, how I can handle some communication issues, and so on. And this is very important.
It's very easy to look at the IoT landscape from consumer through to industrial and think, we're under constant attack. The world's falling in. What do we do next? The truth is that the number of attacks we physically see against individuals or we see against companies, particularly in the industrial space, are limited. It's just that when the attacks occur, they tend to be large. Should people be more concerned or more worried? Or is it a case of people should just accept that this is something we're going to have to experience for the next decade or two until we replace all of that older equipment?
People should not just focus on the price of a component. They should have a look more in the details. What does the vendor provide? For example, when you have a look to mobile phones or to TVs, things like this, there are vendors on the market that will give you software updates for 4 years, 5 years, and so on. And there are also some vendors that just give you a TV that runs for half a year, then you will get the last software update, and that's it. They don't take care about anything regarding securing this device and so on. And this is a real problem. On the other hand, many people are not able to really see what is the value, the security value of a component, and how does the vendor handle these real issues that they have. They just see an advertisement, new device, okay, good functionality, I'm going to buy it. But to see what is the security concept behind this device, that's pretty hard to decide for a customer. Does it go in the right way or the wrong way? On the consumer side, it's important that we have some certificates, that you can have a security certificate where the complete product was evaluated by an independent party, so that they see what's the current security status, and where you are not just focused on the product itself, where you're also focused on the life cycle of the product. So that you see, okay, maybe a TV is used for 6 years on average, and the vendor of this TV guarantees their customers that we will deliver security updates over the next 6 years, or maybe over 5 years, or something like this. So that you are not just buying a device and then you can read in the newspaper the new TVs from vendor XY is hacked, and now all the guys on the internet can access the camera that's in the TV and can see you sitting in your living room. And I can't do anything against it, just buy a new TV. That's not the solution at the end. This is an awareness that we need on the customer side, and also an awareness that we need on the manufacturer side. Because in the future, building a secure product can be a USP during the next years. I hope that maybe in 5 or 10 years it isn't the USP, it's normal, but right now it's just a wish. When a vendor is aware of this and do a good advertisement to show the customer that they really think about security, this is a real USP to sell the product.
I look forward to the day when the market matures, as do users. Thank you very much, Christian.
Yeah.